right, good morning, everyone. I want everybody to hear me say this. I miss Jimmy Wyatt today. It's amazing how when somebody serves, and it goes for anybody, when they serve and do so much of the work that all it takes is for them to miss one day, and it's like, man, where'd they go? Like, hurry back, you know? We had a chance to visit with Miss Pauline yesterday in the hospital. She's doing well. She's feeling better. Hopefully she'll be home today or tomorrow. But definitely keep the Wyatts in your prayers. And what I want to talk about today, I want us to, we're going to close out this Who is the Real Jesus series that, where we've been looking at and really reflecting on who Jesus was as compared to who society makes him out to be. You know, we've talked about how society, sometimes they look at Jesus as though he's weak, or they look at Jesus as though, you know, Jesus was some far-off, you know, person, that he couldn't relate to people. There were just all these different things, and we discussed why it's so important, and the reason why is because so often people look at Jesus as though he's not relevant to them. You know, we want people to come to Christ. We want people to have an understanding of who Jesus is. We want people to seek him, but oftentimes we fail to realize that Jesus isn't somebody they feel like relates to them. And so we've been kind of peeling back the layers on who this Jesus was. And as we finish this series out, I want to talk a little bit about Jesus in, again, a personal way, but specifically how we view Jesus in our own personal lives, not how everybody else views Jesus, not how the world perceives him, but how do we view Jesus? And sometimes if we really are honest with ourselves, we can kind of compartmentalize Jesus where, like, he's applicable for this thing, but maybe not so much for another. And today I want to talk about it in a kind of different way. The title of the sermon is called For Keepsakes, For Keepsakes. And I give it that title because I was thinking about how we've had so many people in this country, you know, famous people, noteworthy people who have recently died. And in particular, I remember while we were gone on our vacation, we were, like, that Thursday, it was the 16th, I believe it was nonstop Aretha Franklin, because Aretha Franklin died. And I mean, you pretty much, you know, you can't get away from knowing who Aretha Franklin is. I mean, she was a larger-than-life figure for so many decades. But I remember seeing an article pop up this past week where it says she had this humongous net worth. Not only whatever catalog she had that she owned and had rights to, but also her estate up in Detroit and the many things, just the wealth she had amassed over the years. And it was so fascinating because it said she never got around to doing a will. Like, she was worth something, and I think, that, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, but it was something like $70 million. And they were saying that because she never really quite got around to doing a will, it just all got passed on according to what the state of Michigan determined that it should go to this and that, you know, the other person. And she has her sons and things like that. But the thing that got me thinking about was, what do we pass on? What do we pass on in our relationship with God? Is there anything that we can pass on to others? And my initial thought was, no, not really. Like, you can't do certain things by proxy. But if we really think about what Jesus did and what he calls us to do, he asked us to do that very thing. He asked us to pass things on to one another. And I want to look at that today and ask, allow us to think about how do we pass things on about the gospel. You know, you think about what is an heirloom, right? Heirlooms are things that, I mean, it really could be anything of significance, something of value, you know, clock, some, you know, watch. This is a pocket watch. You pass these things on, and typically an heirloom has value to the family or the person who is being given that particular thing, in a way that the random average person wouldn't care anything about. You know, a ring. You know, a lot of it's pretty popular where a lot of times, you know, someone will give their, you know, daughter the dress that she wore in her wedding, or, you know, they'll give their son a ring that they can then go, and when they are proposing, you know, and they're looking to get engaged, they'll give that ring to them. And they'll pass these things on. One of the things that's most popular, and I see this all over the place, you ever been in that person's house in that one room that, okay, I'm going to give you a little peek, a little window into my world, right? Where I'm from, my family, everybody has a house. I don't care how small the house is. You got that one room where nobody's allowed to go into that room, okay? Now, and back when I was younger, I mean, I guess people have kind of gotten away with it with Febreze and everything, but it used to be plastic over the furniture in that room, right? You go in there, and that's where you find the heirlooms. That's where you find the piano that was passed on, the clock that was passed on, and especially that Bible, right? You find that one Bible, and you think to yourself, that Bible, and they'll tell you, oh, that Bible's been in our family for generations. And it's like, but nobody has ever even opened that one. Like, we'll use other Bible. We'll use our Bible. You don't touch that one, right? Or it's been open to that one page for so many years that, you know, the fading has started to happen. When we think about the things that we pass along and we think about generations to come, maybe even generations that have passed through this very building, the people that have meant something to us, the question is, what has been passed on to us and what are we expected to pass on to others? I want to start by looking in Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, starting in verse 8, says, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. Nice, long life. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of the peoples around them. They aroused the Lord's anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. It's a very sobering and sad account when we think about all the things that are chronicled in the Word about God's people. This is one of the saddest things you can ever read. It says, you have these people, a whole generation comes along, and you think, how can you not know anything about the Lord? How can you not have any reverence for, or how is it that you can completely ignore and not just take in what it is that the Lord did? Think of all the amazing things he had done, and the fact that after they died, there was nobody left who even cared. Whole generation of people that they went after these other gods. And when you really think about it, well, why does that matter? What does that mean? It's sad, but why is it so sad for us? Why does it matter today? You know, Dennis was talking about this. Like, we live in some very scary, very sad times. And we look at it and we think, how can people, it's like every day, you know, every other day there's a shooting somewhere, there's something. How can people get to a point where they have absolutely no reverence? And the answer, unfortunately, is because while people have taught a lot of traditions and they've passed down a lot of rules and ideas and they've told a lot of stories, the one thing you can't pass down to somebody is the impact of God personally on their life. You just can't pass down the Holy Spirit to somebody. You can't pass down the heart So what is it that we have to pass down? How is it that we can pass it down? See, we have to understand that these people, although they knew their parents and all they knew that they knew their of their forefathers, they had no relationship to it. They had no relationship to it. They taught them things, but they didn't teach them the things that matter. They didn't pass down the things that matter. We think about what it is that we hold sacred, what it is that's important to us. And we want those things to be passed down to our children. We want to give those to others. Well, how do we do that if we don't pass down the relationship to God to them? You know, maybe we're preoccupied with other things and we forget that you have to pass these things on. That's what Jesus expected his disciples to do. Not just tell people the rules, the do's and the don'ts. Not just tell them, hey, I pray every day and I find strength and power from my prayer life. But do you tell people why? Have you explained to them why? You know, you think about sometimes it's because it came from something very painful, very difficult to get through, and God brought you through it. So do you just tell them God brought me through it, or do you tell them how? Do you help them have a relationship with that thing, or are you just giving them that thing? You know, it was interesting. I was talking about deaths, and this immediately comes to mind. Past few days, they've been memorializing John McCain. And, you know, the interesting thing about John McCain is that, you know, I was talking to my son about this, and they were like, do we have to watch the whole thing? Because they feel like it's been on for days, right? And then they were like, and then, you know, I'm flipping between John McCain and Aretha Franklin, and so it really got bad on Friday when they were off. But the thing about John McCain is, like, where my kids, they're young. They've seen John McCain. They've seen his picture. He's been all over TV. But they don't know the story of John McCain. They don't have any idea, as they say, why he can't raise his arms above his shoulders. You know, you can look at a John McCain and you may not like him. You may not have liked his politics. But if you only know John McCain as a politician, then you miss what John McCain was about, why he felt the way he felt, why he was so cantankerous and strong-willed and stubborn on certain things. And the thing is, you don't even have to care about his politics or like his politics, but you have to understand his service. You have to understand why he was who he was. You know, listen to him talk about when he was a young man and he just didn't care that much about stuff, how he graduated so low in his class. See, if you look at John McCain, the man who everybody's memorializing, the old man, you can kind of forget that he spent those 5 years in a foreign land. So often when we think about what Jesus was doing when he was out during his ministry and how he was sharing the good news, the gospel, we can forget why it's good news. We can forget to tell people. We tell people we want them to come to church. We want them to study the Bible. We want them to pray. We want them to have a relationship with God. We want them to give their life to God. But we forget to tell them why. We treat the gospel like it's an heirloom. We treat the gospel like it's just this thing we bring out for special occasions. We're not living it. See, the one thing about John McCain is, just using him as an example, John McCain was the walking embodiment of his struggle. You see him hobble around and limping around, and you see him shaking somebody's hand in that way that he would do it, and he couldn't hide it. It was all over him. His struggle, his overcoming was evident in everything that you could see about his life. And the question has to be asked, is it something that's obvious for us too? Do people see you, watch how you live, and see what God has done in your life? Do they know who you serve without you telling them? And even if they don't know who you serve, do they know that you serve something? Do they know that you're working for something greater than yourself? just by the way that you live, just by the way that you walk? Or is it something that kind of like that Bible in the living room, it's just something that you keep there and it's a keepsake? It's a tradition that's been passed down, or is it something that's active? Because see, a tradition can't save anybody. A tradition can't change someone's life for God. What does your life say about Jesus? Moving on, John chapter 4, starting in verse 46, he says, "Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. 'Unless you people see signs and wonders,' Jesus told him, 'you will never believe.' The royal official said, 'Sir, come down before my child dies.' 'Go,' Jesus replied, 'your son will live.' The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, 'Yesterday at 1 p.m, the fever left him.' Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus said to him, 'Your son will live.' So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee." Jesus says that unless you get a sign, you just won't believe me. And when we think about this, we talked about this last week, how many signs Jesus gave. It wasn't as though it was confusing or just one or two things here. Jesus did amazing things in the lives of people for all of those years during his ministry. And this is an example of yet another amazing thing. Because as we've talked about, it was fascinating, I'm sure, when Jesus lays his hand on somebody, but to think that Jesus healed somebody just with the command of his voice, to the point that when the man gets home the next day, his servant said, "Hey, it's been done. He's healed." And we look at this and you think, how can something so amazing, all the signs and ways in which he was working with the Hebrews, and you think they get out of Egypt, he gives them their own land, he parts the sea, he does all these amazing things, and they forgot, a whole generation of people forgot what he did. We see the same thing with Jesus when he comes and all the amazing things that Jesus did and how so few people followed. So few people actually could understand and make sense of what it was that Jesus came to do. The question is, after all the amazing things that Jesus has done in your life, after the ways in which he has provided for you, he's made a way when there was no way, are you sharing that story? Is that something that means something to you? Is that a part of your life? Are the signs there in your own life? Is it something that's obvious to everyone that this person has been touched by Jesus, this lady, this man? They clearly have a different relationship with God. I can see it in their life. Are the signs there? Or is it something that you keep tucked away? You know, that heirloom, that keepsake, that thing that you want to keep protected, right? You don't want to get dirty. We don't want to mess it up. We don't want to take any chances. Don't want anybody to see it. Don't want it to get faded. Don't want it to get broken. And so therefore, no one ever sees it. It's never shown in your life. What are the signs that Jesus and you have been together? You know, I talked about John McCain. It's not hard to believe, even if you didn't want to believe John McCain, it's easy to believe that he was tortured when you see that man's bones, when you see the way he stood. It's easy to see it because the signs are there. He's wearing it. Are we wearing Jesus, or is Jesus tucked away in the closet? Do we keep him in the safe? Is Jesus an heirloom, a tradition that we're passing on in little bits and pieces? Or is Jesus something that we're passing on actively, that we're telling everyone about him because of how much it matters? You know, normally I end with some questions, and today I'm going to end with some statements, give you some instructions. No questions this time. Call this a to-do list, because these are things that if Jesus is more than just a relic, some tradition, something that has been passed on through generations in our family, but if it's something that's living and breathing and active, if the spirit that he has given us is actually moving in your life, then these are things that we should be doing. Here's a few of them. First one, spend time giving or serving someone that is in need. Make it a point to do it without others noticing your sacrifice. This should be a daily thing. This should be a regular occurrence. This is not something that should be every once in a while during the holidays, you know, calling someone up and doing something for them for their birthday or when they get sick. We should be looking to meet the needs, and we should be concerned about serving others and giving to them all the time. This is a mark. This is a sign that you've been with Jesus. This is how people will know, even without you telling them. Share with someone about how much you pray and how it affects your life in a direct and tangible way. We think about our prayer life. We were talking about this on Wednesday night during our midweek Bible study, about all the examples in the Word about prayer and how it affected people, how it changed people, how we are supposed to pray in faith that God is hearing us. See, you know, we pray in our homes a lot of times, and we pray in our private moments, but we forget that other people, just like when the disciples approached Jesus and said, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples how to pray, we forget that everybody doesn't know. Everybody doesn't know what it is to have an active relationship with God. We can't just say, okay, well, if I see them in a good time, in a good moment, or maybe they come over and they visit with me, I'll share this little secret that I have locked away. No, you should share with them when the opportunity presents itself. You should share with people all the time about how your relationship with God has helped you to overcome, has healed you, has frankly completely changed your life. Research and plan to give time to a cause in a community that is not necessarily connected to the church. Consider your resources and your strengths and put them to use in a community. So much of what we need to do as God's people, we're keeping it in-house. We're locking it away. It's an heirloom. And then we wonder why it is that, as I was saying earlier this morning, there's empty seats when they should be filled. Because we know what Jesus can do for all the people who chose not to come. We know what Jesus can do for people who do not have a relationship with God. We know the power of the cross and what it means that Jesus was crucified. But we have to get out in the community. It can't be something that we keep locked away. That doesn't mean that everywhere you go, you hand out a flyer or you hand out a card or you're just telling every single person, you know, hey, you should come to church with me. No. Talk to them. Build a relationship with them. You know the old braces they used to have? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in 2018? Jesus will be down at the Boys and Girls Club spending time with those children. Jesus will be out somewhere doing something with people because he was always among the people. We as Christians need to be among the people. We cannot lock our relationship with God away. Jesus is not a keepsake. And finally, ask someone who is close to you or who you know has a strong relationship with God for guidance in a weak area. We think about what I was just saying, how when the disciples approached Jesus, they said, teach us how to pray just as John taught his disciples how to pray. We should be just like that. Because let's face it, everybody in here, you know, all of us, we're not maybe that eager, or maybe we're not too certain of ourselves, or maybe we, the reason why we keep Jesus locked away is we're not too sure how to share it. We're not too sure, how is it that I can talk to people about God? How is it that I can have influence by bringing God and what he's done for my life to other people? Well, yes, the answer is in the Word. The answer is always in the Word. But that's why we have each other. That's why we have the church. If there's an area that you are weak in, that you need to grow in, ask someone to help you. Because it's not just for everybody out there who doesn't know him yet. Sometimes we need to remember that it strengthens other brothers and sisters when you're able to confide in them, when you're able to seek their help, when they're able to give to you. But whatever the situation is, God and your relationship with him is not something that we keep buttoned up and that we keep hidden away in a closet. God is something that we have to be willing to share it. If God is not something that's a prominent part of your life, or maybe you don't know what it is to have a strong relationship with God, don't leave here today without doing just that, asking for the help. There's people here who want to help you, who want to pray with you, to study the Word with you, to share with how Jesus changed their life. So if you're in that situation, maybe you say, I don't know what the first step is. Come forward. Receive the help that's available so that Jesus doesn't have to be this mystery and it doesn't have to be something that you keep away in a closet or in a box on a shelf, but that is something that's active, that is something that you share, that is something that other people's lives are going to be changed because of your willingness to be chosen and accept being his son or his daughter. Would you stand with me, please, as we sing our song?